Okay, good morning. And if you have your Bibles, let's resume our studies here. And we are in the third chapter of 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Now I'm going to deal with a verse here that is controversial, and not controversial in what it means spiritually speaking. But the world uses this verse with great controversy concerning the truth. Because, let's read it and then I'll do some explanation. Chapter 3, verse 6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which he received in us or of us. Now, there's this lie that's being perpetrated under the canopy of Christianity. And that lie is that, like I said in my bulletin this morning, is that the law has something to do with our relationship with our Lord as believers in Jesus Christ. Okay? As a believer in Jesus Christ, I am not under the bond or constraint of the law. I'm under the bond and constraint of grace and grace alone. I'm going to read a portion of scripture out of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. It helps if I turn the right direction in my Bible. Apparently I needed another coffee this morning. Alrighty, let's see here. Ephesians, where are you? There you are. Ephesians chapter 5. Okay. Be ye therefore, this is verse 1, be ye therefore followers of God as what?
Dear children.
Okay. Well, how did we receive our Lord Jesus Christ?
Childlike faith.
By grace through faith. That's right. It's a childlike faith. Okay. Without an understanding of anything of God prior, we were given the gift to believe, and we accepted it and made the offering of grace, the offering of salvation, our own. We were handed a gift, as I wrote in the bulletin, and we stretched forth our hand and we received it as our own, and we retained that gift. Okay? That gift is not kept by our own power. It wasn't earned by our own power. We have no power in and of ourselves to affect salvation, and we have no power within ourselves to maintain salvation. So the power of salvation belongs to our Lord and our Lord alone. Therefore, as the scripture says, it's not by works of righteousness which we've done. It's according to his mercy, and his mercy alone, that he saved us. Think of the word saved, okay? If I require saving, I've gotten myself into a predicament that I cannot get myself out of, okay? So if I'm out in the ocean and my boat fails, okay, or I fall overboard, and I'm floating around in the water, and there's no possible way that I can get my boat going again, or if I fell overboard, there's no possible way that I can swim to shore because it's, so many miles away and there's no chance of me making it without dying. I am at the mercy of someone else to come and receive me, to save me, okay? That's where we are in the world. That's why the waters of Galilee, or the sea, in Scripture, is used to portray the world. We were drowning in the world. We were born dead in trespasses and sin, and we were drowning in the world, and with no hope of salvation until the hope of salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ came about through the preaching of the gospel. And so it's as though the Lord came down and stretched forth his hand and picked us, plucked us out of the water, and brought us into his ship, his fellowship. Okay? And so we have salvation fully dependent upon the grace of God and the mercy of God and the power of God. It's not by works of righteousness which we've done. And so we read here in verse 2, and walk how? We walk in love. All right? Well, what kind of love is a believer in Jesus Christ supposed to walk in? The believer in Jesus Christ is supposed to walk in not our love for the world, all right? Now, let me elaborate on this a little bit. I was watching a video one time, and I can't remember what the guy's name was, but a well-known pastor was being interviewed, and the guy interviewing him asked him, Christ said that we're supposed to love our neighbors as ourselves. How do we do that when our neighbors are rude? How do we do that when, you know, people we know? How do we do that when we fall into a contention with them? And the guy sat there and bobbed his head down a little bit and then lifted his head up and said, well, that's a difficult thing. And he was right. That's a very difficult thing. That was the point our Lord was making. Okay? And so, do we have the capacity to love anyone no matter what? No. Why? Because the world, including ourselves, is very, very unlovely. So if we're going to be Christians, are we supposed to stretch forth our arms to just say everybody? If somebody's running at us with a knife saying, I'm going to kill you, do we want to come in here for a bear hug? That'll fix everything, you know. Well, they say we're being godlike if we do that. Well, I can't be godlike, and the world can't be godlike. We're talking here about agape. Agape is the love of Christ. We're to love the world with the same love that the Lord loved us with. Agape is defined as this: herein is love, not that we loved God, but he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, or the covering, the answer, the payment for our sins. And so we've received that gift. How do we receive it? By works of righteousness or by faith? It has to be by faith, okay? Because there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. And so we've received the gift of salvation, full and free, without the payment of a debt. By ourselves, our Lord paid that debt for us. And so because he loved us and gave himself for us, because he took upon himself the law, went to the cross of Calvary, and died for our sins according to the scriptures, because the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin, and we have an inheritance in heaven based upon those things that he did, not things that we could do for him, we want the world to know that same love, because we know what condition the world is in, because we understand what condition we are in and how we required salvation. And then once we saw the light, once we were enlightened and took upon the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior by faith, we want the world to know that same grace that we know. So that's what the love of Christ is. We're to love the world with the same love that our Lord loved the world with. How do we do that? Well, as a church, we go into all the world and we preach the gospel. Preach it to every man. And we baptize them that believe in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so we love the world with that kind of love. It's not this mushy-gushy, faux, almost sickening to your stomach sort of Christian love that you see the legalists of the world try to portray. Because the reason why people think that it's sickening, and this is why, you know, we were talking about The Simpsons a little bit before the service. Well, in The Simpsons, they have that character Ned Flanders. I don't, if anybody's ever seen The Simpsons, you'll know what I'm talking about. It's a vile show. Kind of funny sometimes. They have this, the writer Matt Groening has a way of anticipating the future based upon human nature. It's pretty easy to do when you look at humanity. Okay, he does do a good job at that. That's why it's funny. I mean, South Park does the same thing. Stupid shows, all right? But nevertheless, so this character Ned Flanders in The Simpsons was this mushy, gushy, faux, you know, faux as in fake, Christian man who's supposed to be this loving, kind guy, but he was always getting super pissed off at everybody because, you know, what's really underneath, you know? You know, Ned Flanders had that high-pitched nasally voice, hi, I'm Ned Flanders, you know. Creepy Christian guy, okay? Well, the world is full of creepy Christian. Now, why is it comedy to make fun of a man like that? Because there's so many of them out there like that. You know, a real Christian, one that understands what grace is, one that understands who they are, and how we have this treasure in an earthen vessel based upon the promise and the work of our Lord, not our own, understands who we are, understands who God is, and has a very objective, realistic view of humanity, an objective, realistic view of who God is. And so we take things very matter-of-fact, factual. And the real Christian ought to be somewhat of a tough guy, you know? We make a stand for our faith in a world that stands against us. That's the fact of the matter. That happened Old Testament, New Testament. At what point in time was the gospel popular to the masses? Well, never. You know, the Lord's always had a very small remnant among many. And so the gospel message is very unpopular because the world is natural and the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto them. Neither can they know them, because they're spiritually discerned. Spiritually discerned. That means spiritually understood. So we have to kind of extrapolate from that a little bit. Well, if the world can't understand the things of God because they're spiritually understood, what's wrong with the world? Well, the world's born spiritually dead in trespasses and in sin. So God's spirit can't bear witness with their spirit because they're spiritually dead. Their spirit must be made alive again unto God. How does that happen? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, just like your spirit and my spirit was made anew through the preaching of the gospel. He bore witness with you, gave you the gift of faith, and you became a child of God by faith, not by works. All right? So the world looks at us and doesn't understand who we are or what we have or who God is. And that makes it an interesting thing to go into the world and preach the gospel. Well, Scripture talks about it exactly how interesting it is. It's called the foolishness of preaching. Now, I don't think what I preach is foolish. You know, I don't think what we broadcast into the world is foolish at all, because we have an understanding of it based upon the indwelling presence of the Spirit of God. But the world doesn't have that understanding. And so it's foolish because we're preaching a message to the world who can't understand it. Therefore, we must allow the power of God to be brought in. Okay? I can't convince, you can't convince, but we can make witness to the truth. We're Christian apologists. So we learn the apologetics of the scriptures. That's preaching of the gospel, you know, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, and rightly divide the word of God and allow the Spirit of God to bear witness of his word to the world who can't understand it, that they might understand it. So, you know, we endeavor not to know anything about anyone save Christ crucified and allow God's power to stand through his word. That's how we deliver, okay? In that, we are loving the world. That's what we're referencing here. So, he says here, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us an offering and sacrifice to God for what? For a sweet-smelling savor. Now, you know, what was to happen with the offerings? Well, the offerings were to be slain by the drawing of blood, sphazo in the Greek, you know, slitting of the throat. That blood was to be caught in a basin and sprinkled upon the points of the altar and used for a sprinkling up. That's in the altar of sacrifice before the holiest and holiest of holies, then brought into the holiest and sprinkled upon the mercy seat within the holiest of holies. Okay, so it was to be used for a covering. Kafar in the Greek means covering. A covering for what? A covering for what was in the ark. A covering for our sins. Okay, and then that body was to be burned. Well, what does that speak of? Well, when you burn something, what happens? Well, we have an exchanging of the elements. So in the elements we have, and this is kind of funny how God has put in the world so many trinities. If we take matter, what three forms, if you remember your physics classes, what three forms can matter be in? So, would that be physics or biology? It's physics, right? General science.
Physics, same thing. Solid, liquid.
Yeah. Okay. So in, for instance, I don't know. Let's take this glass of water. Right now, this glass of water is at the proper temperature for it to be in the liquid form. Okay. Well, if I go back and put it in the freezer, and it'll get 32 degrees Fahrenheit or less, it'll turn into a solid form. If I pour it into a saucepan and put it on that stove and raise it above, what's the boiling point?
212.
Something like that. Okay, I'll take it. It'll turn into a gas, and we'll start seeing it rise as steam. So it's still water, whether it's a block of ice or a glass of liquid water or a gaseous form, which we, you know, water vapor. Okay, it's still water. So we have a trinity. We have in the world we have, and if I can remember this correctly. I'm thinking about the Trinity of Trinities. Space, time, and matter. And then matter is solid, liquid, gas. Time is
past, present, future.
Thank you very much. It takes a village. And space is when, where, and how, or something like that. Like something has to be within space, within the confines of a trinity. So we have a trinity of trinities in creation. I butchered that, folks. I'll make sure I write it down on a piece of paper next time, but you understand what I'm saying, okay? So God made within the world a trinity of trinities. Everything's in a trinity. And what is God? What form is God in? God is in the form of a trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so through the Son, when we have you knock that off. When we have, don't do that to your mom. When we have, this is my kid, I can. Okay, so when we burn the sacrifice, what happens? Well, it turns into a gas and it rises. Well, what happened to our Lord Jesus Christ after he was put to death and ascended from the grave? He arose from the dead and he arose into heaven and performed his high priestly ministry. So that speaks of resurrection. Our Lord says, because I live, ye shall live also. And so the sacrifice of Christ, you could smell the burnt offering in the camp when it was being made. So the sacrifice of Jesus Christ in like manner was a sweet-smelling savor. And when every one of those sacrifices that was offered in faith represented the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ was a sweet-smelling savor to God. Remember our Lord said about his Son, of whom I am what?
Well pleased.
Because the Son executed the will of the Father. And the will of the Father was for the Son to be the Savior of man. And the will of the Father is a will of love. Our Lord loved us and gave himself for us. And so the Son saying, I do always those things which my Father saith for me to do and saith for me to say. Okay, well, our Lord perfectly fulfilled the will of the Father for you and for me so that we might be accepted in the Beloved. Therefore, God says, I'm well pleased with my Son. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, very God of gods. So he says here, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetous, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Now, the world will say, okay, boys and girls, you know, you're going to get a car here soon when you turn 16 or 18 or 29 or whatever age people get cars these days. And you boys are going to be interested in girls, and you girls are going to be interested in boys. Don't let me find you on top of Skinner's Butte, naked in the back of your Pontiac or whatever. They don't even make Pontiacs anymore, do they? Back when I was in high school, people had Pontiacs, okay? So, they don't want to see anybody fornicating. Well, that's with the outward interpretation of this. If I'm married to a wife, and I am, and I go out and find another woman, what am I doing? I'm engaging in an adulterous relationship. I'm going after flesh that is not my own, to put it bluntly, okay? Well, as the church, who are we wed to? We're wed to our Lord, right? So we are the bride, as it were, of Christ, and we're waiting for the second coming. So we're waiting for the bridegroom to come and receive us unto himself because he's been building an habitation for us while he's gone, okay? That's how it used to go. In a Oriental wedding, you know, you would be betrothed to someone, and it was the male's responsibility to go make his way in the world, gain an income, and typically, if his father had a house, add an addition to his father's house or his father's encampment so that he had some place to bring the wife, because the purpose of taking on a wife was to bear children so that the name of the family would continue. And how can you bear children unless you have a place and means to bear them? Okay, well, our Lord Jesus Christ bore children unto himself by giving himself upon the cross of Calvary, and he's gone to prepare a place for us. We read that over in the 14th chapter of the book of John. All right, let's read that real quick. Keep your spot here in Ephesians. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, all right. Verse 1, this is the 14th chapter, verse 1. Let not your hearts, it's plural here in the Greek, Let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many, and we have the word translated mansions. This is Greek, in the Greek, dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will do what? Come again. And receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Is that not where the bride wants to be? With the bridegroom. You're betrothed unto marriage to your love, and you want to be with your love, husband and wife, you know, in a marriage relationship. That's what we have with our Lord. Now, the world has turned this into a disgusting relationship where, you know, men can be married to a man because Jesus Christ is a man. This is anthropomorphic language, okay? We're going to be our Lord. We're the Lord's children, okay? And as far as a wedding is concerned, why do we have weddings? Why do men and women get married? And yes, a wedding is supposed to be between a man and a woman. Thank you. Why do women, I can't believe I even have to say that, but in this day and age, I do. Why do women, men and women get married? So that they belong one to each other. They belong one to each other. And we belong unto our Lord, and our Lord belongs unto us. If it were not for the marriage relationship between our Lord and the saints, we wouldn't have a marriage relationship between men and women. Now, what does the marriage relationship between our Lord and the saints produce? More saints. We go into all the world and preach the gospel. Okay? More like unto our Lord. What does a natural marriage relationship produce if done correctly? You know, anymore, you know, you've got the birth rate going down in the world because people don't want, they think more about themselves than they do their family. And I don't know how you're supposed to become a mature person without at least endeavoring to have kids. You know, it's you end up thinking about yourself your whole life. But nevertheless, you know, we produce children because that's the way you're supposed to produce a person for your namesake. Well, we're the children of God. We have an inheritance in heaven that's incorruptible and undefiled and fades not away, and it's reserved by the power of God. We are a people for God's namesake. And so we have a mirror image between the marriage relationship between a man and a woman and the family that's produced, and a marriage relationship between the church and our Lord and the family that's produced. And if it weren't for that, we wouldn't have marriage relationships. We'd just be, you know, like the animal kingdom out, you know, fornicating and doing whatever our will demands. Ask my bulldog. You know, nobody's telling her what to do. She's a bulldog. But we're bound and subject to God as Christians. And so we read here, and whither I go, you know, and the way, you know. Okay? Well, we've got a path to trod as believers, and we know the way. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by him. So we walk in the way. We walk by faith. The way is by Christ, and we see Christ in the scriptures, so we operate according to thus saith the Lord. Of course, Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's one way to please God and one way to please God only, and that's through faith in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Savior. So now let's go back to Ephesians chapter 5 here. Yeah, that's right, John. So he says here in verse 3, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetous, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Well, this is fornication as in a departure from that whom you belong to, or from him who you belong to. And so do we as believers in Jesus Christ, in like manner as to, you know, with me and my wife, do I belong in the bed of another woman or does she belong in the bed of another man? No, that would be an improper relationship. Of course, in humanity, it happens all the time. I'm not making an excuse for it, but that's the way humans are. So as believers in Jesus Christ, do we belong in bed with the world? No, the world is strange flesh. Okay? Man and woman and a woman come together and the two shall become what?
One.
and our Lord Jesus Christ, what do we have? We are one with our Lord Jesus Christ. We're one and the same, joint heirs. We are on the same plane as our Lord Jesus Christ, but we have this treasure in an earthen vessel. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know when we see him, then we're going to be like him, for we'll see him as he is. And so he says here, no fornication and uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be named among you as become a saint. Now, this word fornication in the Greek is porneia, and it's where we get our term pornography or porn. It's a short way of putting it these days. And it means in the Greek to sell away, to sell away. Okay? So if somebody was walking on the streets in Hellenistic Greek and selling themselves for a sexual relationship, they would be engaging in porneia. They'd be selling themselves away. Prostitution. Okay? That's what that means. So as believers, we don't belong, we have no business prostituting ourselves to the world because we belong to our Lord. What does the world have to offer us? What price can the world pay us that could be better than what we have in our Lord Jesus Christ? What should it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Well, there's no profit in it. The world's going to be burned up. All that we see here is going to be burned up. And those that remain are going to be those that are in Christ and that are dwelling in their heavenly inheritance, wherein dwelleth righteousness. So this word porneia means to sell away. And so what happens if a believer is engaging in uncleanness? Well, uncleanness is unbelief. And so if we engage in the ways of the world operates in unbelief. A believer in Jesus Christ is to operate how? By faith. Well, faith is not unbelief. Faith is receiving that which is true. And so if we go along with the world, this is why it can be an uncomfortable thing for us to be believers in Jesus Christ in the world sometimes. And, the more you grow, the less uncomfortable it is. But, a believer in Jesus Christ has a hard time relating to the world what he believes about his Lord, because the world can't receive it. So we tend to want to capitulate to the world. That's why, when we're out and about in the world as believers, if we're not very well taught and grounded in the truth and grown up in the things of the Lord and have a little bit of a spiritual maturity and understand, I'm to operate this way because I'm a Christian, and I want to operate according to my beliefs because the Spirit of God has convicted me. We're under the conviction of our Lord, and we operate according to that conviction if we're well taught. Okay, well, the babe in Christ is going to go along with the world because he doesn't want the world to be upset with him. It's called saving face. That's an Asian tradition. But the Asians, you know what saving face is to the Asian? The Asian will say, now I'm not being a bigot here. I'm just saying this is an Asian tradition, okay? Goes back a very long way. The Asian will do whatever it takes to preserve his honor. Now, I don't know how exactly you calculate this as preserving honor, but they will try to save face even if it means lying. That's why, a lot of Chinese politics can't be trusted. Well, most politics can't be trusted. Chinese can be particularly inflictful about that. So they'll lie to save face. Well, believers have a tendency to do that too when they're in the world. They'll want to act like the world. They'll want to do like the world. They'll want to fit in with the world. But we're not of the world. Now, we can be in the world. We can subsist with the world. But we don't abide with the world. We abide with our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're in the world, but not of the world. And it can be a kind of a interesting dichotomy to live in. But when we understand what the Word of God says about the world, we'll know that no matter what the world throws at us, there's an answer for it in the Scriptures. And so the world says, it's like I've been told before. This always rubs me the wrong way a little bit. I spend a lot of time at work, and I spend a lot of time with the church, the necessities I have to do in the church. And I've been told I should be present with my family more. I can't stand that word, present. Okay. I belong to God first, okay? I don't belong to my family first. I love my family. I don't belong to them first. They also belong to God first, okay? We're jointly owned as a possession by our Lord. So it's God first. Lord, what would you have me to do? It's got to be work second. Because how can I provide for my family, whom I love, if I don't work? And family third. There's a logical hierarchy there. Okay? And when we're operating according to that hierarchy, everything fits in like it should. Now, you know, I've been told, oh, you need to be doing stuff with your kids on the weekend more, doing this, doing that. Well, I am. I'm raising my children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And Lord willing, they'll all become believers in Jesus Christ. I don't know that for sure. No, but Lord willing, they will. Now, if we break that hierarchy and I'm doing 9 sports and camping every weekend and not in church and not studying and not doing this, not doing that, then how is it that I'm being responsible to my relationship with my Lord in which he called me to preach the gospel or called me into various gifts of grace that I'm supposed to operate in for the betterment of the body? How's the body supposed to operate if the believers aren't operating in their gifts? That's got to come first. Because the whole point of why we're here, ladies and gentlemen, isn't to go camping and play 9 different sports. And I get my shorts in a knot a little bit about the sports thing these days. It used to be your kid did 1 sport, maybe 2 sports, one during one season, one during another. But now they're overlapping, and we got travel sports, and we got this, and we got that. And every kid's got to be Michael Jordan these days for some darn reason. But it's destroying families because there's no time for the family. And so that's out of order too. So God first, worldly obligation second, work, that kind of thing, whatever has to be done to make an income, and family third. And if you have a good family, everybody's picking up the slack, And so, that's the order in which things should be. It doesn't always work out perfectly. We live in a corrupted world. It's not always perfect. I'm not a perfect servant of my Lord. I wish I were, but I'm very, very far from it. As far as I'm concerned, I take the same position Paul took. I'm the chiefest of sinners. But as much as is within me, I try to live peaceably with my Lord and peaceably with the world. The whole point there is as much as is within me. I don't have enough in me, and I'm not going to have enough in me. Neither nobody is. We operate according to the grace that's been given unto us, and the more we subject ourselves to the things of God, the more we see things working out for us, not for the purpose of necessarily our lives, but for the purpose of our Lord in our lives. So that's a good position to be in. So don't sell yourself off. Don't operate in unbelief, uncleanness, or covetousness. Well, if you're constantly me all the time,
That's the world today.
Well, sometimes when I pray sometimes for prior to the services, and I should probably start including the morning prayer in our services, and I think I'm going to do that with the recording. And I pray for the spiritual maladies of the body and let the Lord's will be done. And I also pray for the physical maladies of the body that the Lord's will be done. Well, what are these spiritual maladies that I'm praying about? Well, this church, Grace Baptist Church, little old Grace Baptist Church, 4101 River Road, Eugene, Oregon, has actually quite a few members. But on any given Sunday, there's not a lot of members here. Why is that? It's not up to me to go chasing folks around. I'm not a executor of the law. If people are a child of God, the Lord chastens and scourges every son whom he receiveth. So it's the Lord's job to turn them the way the Lord wants to go. All right? But some folks are more worldly than they are spiritual. I'm not judging them. I'm not saying that I'm better than them by saying that. Not in any means. I'm saved by grace and grace alone. Trust me, I require a lot of grace, just like you do. I'm a sinner saved by grace. A sinner first, saved by grace second. I was born a sinner. I'm not going to be free of this nature till I'm raised. You aren't either. So we're not saying this from a self-righteous standpoint. But I do pray for people that the Lord might, turn things in their life, change their mind, so they might, be responsible to the things that have been committed to their trust And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we're not supposed to forsake the gathering of ourselves together as the manner or the habit of some is. It can be a habit to come to church, and it can be a habit to not come to church. But the blessing that comes along with being under the sound of the gospel. This is why, you know, we talk about doubting Thomas, one of the apostles. Why was Thomas constantly being rebuked by our Lord? He wasn't there for all the blessings. He received them all. Okay, our Lord dealt with him by grace. But he wasn't there when the rest of the disciples were receiving the blessings. And so there's a blessing that goes along with hearing the things of God and being under the sound of the gospel. And I desire that for every single believer in Jesus Christ. Not only here at this church, but at any church that's sound in the things of God. And so he goes on in verse 4 and says, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not fitting, that's what convenient means, but rather giving of thanks. You know, the world loves to jest. The world loves to be foolish. The world loves, make fun of these things. You know, I've never had much joy in Jesus jokes. Jesus Christ is God. You know, he created me and he saved me. What business do I have making a joke or jesting in the things that are... The message we preach, although sometimes there's comedy from the pulpit, sometimes we talk about worldly things, sometimes messages are kind of light, sometimes they're very heavy. But the message we preach is grave and the message we preach is serious. These are things, we're dealing with the eternal variances of God. And it's nothing to be jested about. I take my relationship with my Lord very seriously. I'm his servant. I'm an ambassador for Christ. Tell me which ambassador of the United States or any other country for that matter is flippant about his job. He better not be, or he's not going to be ambassador for very long. You know, he's also dealing with grave matters of the state, so he's going to be very professional about it. And, you know, we have a professionality about what we believe because what we believe is the truth. And the truth can make men free from the lie of the devil. And we're out here in the world preaching so that men might be saved. And so we preach a message that's grave, and we preach a message that's serious. And so, rather than these things, give thanks for what we have. Be thankful. What comes from thanksgiving? What is the end result of thanksgiving, being thankful? Lord, what would you have me to do? If you're thankful for what you've received... You know, we lay ourselves at the feet of the Lord and say, Lord, what would you have me to do? Reciprocal grace. That's the end of thanksgiving. So we have been forgiven. We've been offered grace. And so we offer some reciprocal grace to God and say, Lord, like the Apostle Paul did, what would you have me to do? So he says here in this verse 5, for this you know that no whoremonger or unclean person nor covetous man who is an idolater. Now, what is idolatry? Idolatry, the concept of idolatry came out of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That you can decipher or discern what is right and what is wrong based upon your own conscience and your own understanding of what is right and what is wrong. Now, what is, to the world, by a natural definition, what is an idol? It's a false god, right? So no, anything aside from the person and work of Christ in our behalf, according to the gospel, is idolatry, whether it be atheism or agnosticism or any other schism that's under the realm of religion or any other thing that's contrary to sound doctrine, is all idolatry. And we've got no business dealing in idolatry. Okay? So, covetous man who's an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Now, are we as believers in Jesus Christ idolaters? No, because we're not operating according to what we know naturally. We're operating according to the love of Christ, and the love of Christ constrains us. So the old man has died, and the new man has been reborn. And the new man operates according to thus saith the Lord. Okay? So, in fact, let's go back here in chapter 4. Turn one page back. In verse 17, Ephesians 4:17. This I say, just flip one page back and you'll find it. Verse 17, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you walk that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in what? The vanity of their own mind. What is the vanity of their own mind? Idolatry. It's a way which seemeth right unto a man. It came out of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's a way that's determined to a self-determination of right and wrong based upon a way which seems right to that person, and that was received in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened and being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that's in them because of the blindness of their hearts. Men were born dead in trespasses and in sin. Who being past feeling, that's shame or care, have given themselves over to lasciviousness, which is what feels good, a way that seems right, to walk all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. This is not how we received Christ. That's what that verse means. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation, that's a manner of life, the what? The old man. Now, where did the old man come from? The old man came out of Adam. In Adam all die. Which is corrupt according to the lust, not deceitful lusts. You guys can sit anywhere you want. I know I'm still preaching. Good morning. Which is corrupt according to the lusts of the deceit. The deceit. The deceit is the sin of Adam. It was received in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the lie that was perpetrated there in that garden at that tree by the devil was that you can make yourself fit for God's presence by your knowledge of what is right and by your knowledge of what is wrong. And therefore, by your determination of right and wrong, you can say what is good and what is not good. And that's apart from the counsel of God. How do we receive the truth? We receive the truth from the counsel of God. Not by a way that seems right unto us. That came out of the evil tree. So you put off concerning the former conversation or manner of life, the old man which is corrupt according to the lusts of the deceit, and be renewed in the spirit of your being. That's what mind means there. Okay? Why is it a renewal? Because man was created in God's image. And we fell from that image when Adam ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because in Adam all die. So we have to be restored to the image of God by the imputed power and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the righteousness of Jesus Christ, which becomes our own, which we are going to physically receive by promise when we're raised, glorified, and adopted. All right? A couple more verses here, then we'll pray. That clock is slow. No wonder I think I have more time. My phone says 11, and that clock says 10:55. All right. And I did set my timer. I've got 1 minute. I'm all messed up back here. All right. So, that you put off concerning the former manner of life, that's what conversation meant in 1611, the old man which is corrupt according to the lusts of the deceit, that's what it means in the Greek. The definite article is present there. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind or of your being, and not that ye, that was added by the translators, it simply should read, and put on the new man. How do we put on the new man? Well, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so what? Walk ye in him. How do you receive him? By grace through faith, apart from the deeds of the law. So we walk in the same manner that we received him, by faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if you want to put on the new man, educate yourself in the things of God by the preaching of the word of God and operate according to it. That you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness, wherefore putting away not lying. We all, let God be true and every man a liar. We're all liars, some way, shape, or form. Putting away the lie, speak the truth. The definite article is present in this verse in the Greek. With his neighbor, for we are members one with another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of the edifying, that it may minister what? Grace to the hearers. Now, how do we understand all these things? We understand all these things by faith. And when we hear the Word of God preach, we put Scripture together with Scripture. How do we teach? Line upon line, line upon line, precept upon precept, precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. Rightly dividing the Word of God to build and make an unbreakable argument, an apologetics, an unbreakable argument for the truth of the Word of God, that the believers in Jesus Christ who hear the gospel might not only receive it in salvation, but grow in the things of God, that they might be mature men and women in Christ. Okay? Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for your love, mercy, and grace. We thank you for the scriptural message that we receive, no matter where we are in the Word of God, that we might grow thereby and be mature men and women, and we want to walk according to the new man and not the old man. The old man was of the world, the new man is of the Lord, and we're not in the world, or we're in the world, but we don't belong to the world. We belong to our Lord Jesus Christ, so let us operate in him and through him. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.